BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related, running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here. And on this episode, I got with me Daniel Elfers. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing awesome.
Nice. That's good. So why don't you let the listeners know a little bit about Daniel. Let them kind of know what's going on and, you know, who you are.
So I am an obstacle racer and a running and OCR coach. So I'm also a kids ninja coach too. So I try to kind of, you know, I'm definitely in that obstacle world. That's really what I love doing. So most of my time is spent either training or training other people, it seems like.
Nice.
And right now I'm getting ready for Portland for one race. But really I'm getting ready for like West Virginia and Tahoe coming up here because I qualified for both of those.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm going to Tahoe, but I'm just going to do like the open beast and, you know, get my triple trifecta because I missed Montana this year. So, but
oh yeah, Montana was fun. So have you been to Tahoe before?
No, I haven't. This would have been my fifth year in Montana, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I missed
Tahoe
it.
It's tough, but it's fun. Like it's definitely got some good challenges in it. And I don't know if you're ready for that swim, that cold swim. That's always a treat.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm worried about. Cause I hate being cold. Actually, that's not true. I don't mind being cold. I don't like cold water. You know, I did okay in Seattle this year. You know, I know a lot of people had problems with Seattle this year, and I did okay. I didn't really get too bad. I mean, one hand was so cold it was starting to ache. But, I mean, I was able to survive and keep going. So I've been trying to come up with a plan for Tahoe because I know a lot of people bring, like, plastic bags where they can seal all their stuff in while they do the swim or whatever. But, so...
Yeah, I don't carry much with me when I run, so that helps. Body-wise, I take a lot of cold showers, and I do ice baths and stuff, and that really has kind of, like, prepped me mentally for it. Because you train in the cold, you get your body used to being ready for the cold, and I find that really helps when you get out on a course like that, too.
Yeah. I'm going to have to try that. I've always been one of those ones I don't like the cold water baths, and it's like... I'll deal with them. I'll get in the cold water if I have to. I just don't like it, you know. I mean, the one thing is most people know my biggest obstacle for me, the worst one, is the dunk wall. And it's mainly because I don't like putting my head underwater that I can't see into, if that makes sense. I know it sounds weird, but my brain, I have a disconnect there where it's like if I could see clearly into the water, I'm like, no problem. I'll go right under. And I've done it like Montana, they used to have... the dunk wall was in a river or a stream.
Yeah.
So it was clear water because it was running. So I could see, and I'd walk up to it, dunk my head under, and off I went. No problem. But a normal one where they do where it's standing water and it gets all nasty and muddy, and my brain is just like, you know, I'm not putting my head under there. So yeah, that's
it. Working with different clients and working with a lot of people, I've just definitely noticed that people have different fears and different things that they struggle with. And that's the coolest thing about OCR is the fact that you have so much variation in a course that everyone's got things they're strong at, everything's got things that they're weak at, and it pulls out your weaknesses and allows you to be strong in your strong areas. And, I mean, some people struggle with the dunk wall, some people struggle with the height, some people struggle with the grip, some people struggle with the carries or even the running, you know?
Yeah. It's always, and that's what's great about obstacle course races is there's so many different things. I mean – you can't focus on one thing. You have to focus really on a full body workout and get your whole body ready for these races and your mind. You know, if you're missing one thing, you're going to feel it in that course, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, you need the mental side as much as the physical side. I think you get a lot of mental side from training the physical side too, which is the benefit to putting in the work.
Well, yeah, definitely. So, so you did say that you live in the Tri-Cities, correct?
Yeah. So I'm in Tri-Cities, Washington. It's been pretty much hot as hell here lately. You have to get up at 5 if you don't want to be in like over 90 degree weather.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's been good.
Well, but I just had a conversation with a lady from the OMAC Warrior Stampede, and I was talking to her. We were talking about the fact that so many people, you say Washington, and they think one of two things. They think Washington, D.C., or they think wet, green place. And it's like, no, yeah. Western yeah. Washington is wet and green. Eastern mm-hmm. Washington's a desert. You know, and that's why I honestly think, like, one of the big races needs to come here and do a race in Eastern Washington. They need one in Tri-Cities.
Well, we got,
they need one.
Well, that's like we're talking about the Renegade. The Renegade race, yeah. The hometown race here. But it'd be cool to see some other, like, big franchises come in, too. We had the Mud Factor a few weeks ago, but that's kind of just a fun run, you know, compared to, like, Renegade's a legit race.
I've done Mud Factor years ago. It's been about 3 or 4 years. But the last time I did Mud Factor, I did it 3 years in a row. And the last year, I wasn't going to do it because I didn't think it was worth the price. But somebody bought it for me as like a Father's Day present. And I finished, and this is me, and I'm not fast. I finished in 29, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was like when I pretty much decided I mean, I don't do most 5Ks. In 29 to 30 minutes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So just kind of,
No, it was,
but
it was fun. Like getting to go out with people. So I went out with clients and people that I enjoy. And so just, especially being a home, like in the hometown, you had a lot of people come out who wouldn't do a bigger race. You know, this, I get a lot of that where a lot of people are scared to do the bigger races. And this was a little more like, okay, it's a fun run. And it's kind of a good foot in the door for people. And so especially people that I've known who haven't done a race before, it was kind of a perfect, like, setup into it. But then I was like, hey, you should come to a Spartan next, you know, try out a Spartan sprint.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. It's like my wife will do, she's done Survivor, she's done Warrior. She did Rugged 1 year, but she won't step up and do a Spartan. She's like, nope, that's too much. I won't do it. She's like, I've seen what you go through when you do a Spartan. I ain't doing it. And it's like, okay. If that's your choice, I'm not going to push you, but
you know, that's one thing I find with clientele and trying to get people out to my program that I run is the fact that I have people come out, take class, and it's just, you can tell pretty quick. It's just, this isn't for them. You know, they got to find the thing they enjoy in fitness. And I think there's what's great is there's so many fitness avenues for everyone, but you know, so not everyone's going to be an OCR person. You know, not everyone's going to be a CrossFitter.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to be a power lifter or a figure competition, you know, whatever they do. I mean, lots of different people, and there's definitely some that's like OCR is not their thing, and that's okay.
And and that's true. And that's one thing, like, you know, we've really actually, we just had an episode of the podcast where we talked about how we're changing things. Is the podcast has pretty much been bias towards OCR, and it's like, you know, that's kind of a little niche. We want to start pushing and also talking about a lot of the other fitness avenues, because there's a lot of people that start with OCR and they don't like it, so they go to something else, or people that started doing something else and then went to OCR. So it's kind of, you know, it's OCR is a one little niche. It's really cool to, you know, talk about some of the other stuff that people do. So
I'm curious too, when you say OCR, does that include like Ninja, or do you consider Ninja something separate?
I kind of consider Ninja it's its own, like, I think offshoot of Spartan, Spartan, but OCR. It's obstacle course racing, but it's its own animal, I think, because it's, you know, there's the ones that we do, the mud runs, the OCRs, those kind of things are, you know, anybody can get out there and do it. And if you fail, you just move on. You know, or you do, you know, your burpees and you move on. You know, American Ninja Warrior, that's a whole nother level. That's people that
well, it is, but you also train. Have the UNAA now. So we have like local comps and stuff now too that are actually a little more, I mean, you don't have the running side of it, but you actually have obstacle to obstacle. So if you fail something, it's more of a point set up until you move to the next thing. It's time and points. You know, you have some courses and some variations on the newer, more local, you know, local Ninja events outside of American Ninja Warrior that are a little more that way. And that's cool because I actually started with Ninja Warrior. I mean, I was a runner back in the day when I did guide cross country and track. I was actually a pretty slow runner throughout high school, but I just enjoyed doing it. And then I got into Ninja, and got the obstacle experience, and then I found I really enjoyed Spartan, especially for the grit aspect, and I had the running background, so it really translated well to have the obstacle experience and the running to go into Spartan. But I've loved being a part of the Ninja Warrior scene as well.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I did see that you've done that. Have you made it onto the show yet, or?
I didn't get shown. I have actually ran the course before. So I got to run it back in season 8, so 2016. So I got to run the actual course in L.A. And that was such an experience because that whole experience was, it started several months prior to that where I kind of decided, I was like, okay, I want to do this show. I was watching it, and somewhere in my head it just clicked. It went. I was like, I bet if I trained right, I could get there and I could do that. And I actually went and I weighed in the walk on line. I had 10 days in the walk on line, and I got to run. I was one of the very last competitors to run the night because they only run so many walk ons, and a lot of times they used to bring in about 30. And what they do, they kind of just hold us in there, and if they had extra time during the night, they'd run us. So not all the walk ons get to run, and so I was fortunate enough to get to run that year, which was just really, really cool. But it's so technical. I think that's the biggest thing going into it. Like, if you don't have the technique, it really throws you off. And the great part is that I learned that pretty quick after going down. And I went down the second obstacle, which is the TikTok that year in L.A. And it's just because I'd never really practiced trapeze swings, and I didn't really know how to dismount from a swinging bar.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, is it something that you're training for that you want to try doing again, or was it just kind of a,
done it? I want to do it again. I do. It's just a matter of getting on. And the past few years, I got so busy, I got involved with other stuff, and so I haven't been able to try to walk on again. And, I mean, they changed the whole walk-on system this year, too, and I wasn't able to attempt it either. But just with that, I submit every year with a video submission and try and apply, but I just haven't had my chance. Although I know I got further in the casting selection this year because I did get called back, and I know they were pitching me up to the execs, so I made it through like the preliminary checks on like what they were looking for. So I figure one of these years again, I'll get my chance and get to get my revenge on the course and try to take it down.
That's awesome. See, and I would love to get into that shape, and that's one of the things I'm working for is to get to a shape where I can do stuff like that. But what motivates you to do that? I mean,
I guess when I started, I guess it was part of just like I saw it and it just, I wanted to push my limits. I kind of wanted to see what I was capable of, you know, and there's a lot I like to inspire people too. But when it comes down to it, there's moments when I'm on a course and I'm like, I don't care who I'm inspiring. I just want to see if I can push my limits. There's just like this want and drive that you have. I know during Spartan, there are times in the course, especially when I start getting towards the end, that my drive really kicks in, and it's because I know who. Like a lot of times in these races, you know, every person I pass counts. You know that I'm a little higher up in the field, especially when I'm running like some of the national championship elite races, and so I start driving just as hard as I can to finish. And so really, I think it comes down to I want to see what I'm capable of doing.
That's awesome.
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
With your company, I know you keep saying your clients, you haven't said a whole lot about your... Tell us a little bit about what you do with the training and all that. I mean... You know, kind of how that works. I know, like I said, I know you're in the Tri-Cities and you have clients that you train and doing all that stuff. How do you do that? And I mean, how is that going for you?
So I own a business called The Obstacle Circuit. And so I coach, I do the run coaching side of stuff with clients. And then we also do class-based. And so I set up a class. So I'll go out to a park somewhere because it's all outside, which is great because, you know, races don't happen in gyms. They happen outside, so I don't see the same point of training in a gym when, you know, we're going to go to some place in the middle of nowhere and be expected to run on terrain. So it's like we kind of set up in the same sort of environment. We're going to run on terrain. So we go out to a park, and I can set up, bring sandbags, buckets. I've got spear throws. I have things to hang up like monkey bars and just all sorts of stuff to just prep people for what we're going to see on a course. And it's just been it's been really fun having that and building a community of people around that too. And then, like I said, having a class-based system, it brings people together. And so, like, I've definitely introduced people who wouldn't know each other, you know, and then we all go to a race together. And just, it builds a community, because that's something that I know we have people who race in Tri-Cities, and I knew we did, but it's just a matter of we're not as connected as we could be. You know, as much as there are people who race, it's like the community's very much, not non-existent. And so I wanted to bring something that would help start to bring that together.
It's awesome. See, and that's one thing that I've talked a lot of times about is, like with the Beast OCR, we're, we cover 3-4 states now, I think. And it's, trying to get that to bring in those communities, like Tri-Cities and Spokane and, stuff like that. Most of our base is over here, in the Seattle area. But in all reality, most of us aren't even in Seattle. I'm down by Tacoma. I'm in Puyallup. So it's kind of, trying to bring those communities together to try and, get more, interaction into the, obstacles and doing that stuff. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the picture. I have obstacles in my front yard. I built an obstacle course in my front yard.
That's cool. That's awesome. So, I think I have. I saw it on the Bees Facebook group too.
Yeah, because we do the South Sound workout. Yeah, the South Sound workouts is there in my yard because I have Because it's like, hey, why not? I want to do obstacles. I know other people do. I'm put some up and go for it. So.
Yeah, and my goal down the road is to actually open my own gym, but I definitely want to keep doing a lot of the outdoor workouts. That we'd have more access to being able to set up obstacles that we could work on in a gym setting, but then we also would be able to go out and still be able to work outside, because that's really, the running and the terrain work is, I think, more important when it really comes down to it than even the obstacles a lot of times too. Being able to work on that stuff, get clients out and stuff and make them work on terrain that they wouldn't normally run on. We were out in the snow at one point. It was it was rough. You're trying to work through this snow that had melted and reformed. And so it was hard to run in, but then you get on terrain during races, and that's kind of what it feels like. Sometimes you end up on really rocky, weird terrain.
You do. And you have to be ready for that. I mean, that was one thing. I lost a lot of weight back in 2010. And I did a lot of training in the gym, a lot of running on the elliptical, a lot of running on the treadmill, the bike, all that kind of stuff, all in the gym. And I dropped about 70 pounds, but that's where all my training was. And then all of a sudden, one of my friends is like, hey, let's go do a 5K. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I run 5 or 6 miles a day. No problem. This will be great.
Yeah.
And I go out and did this 5K, and it was a little bit of asphalt, but it wasn't flat asphalt. It was very, very uneven, and then a little bit of trail. And by the end of 3 miles, it felt like somebody had beaten my legs with a baseball bat. They were hurting. Yeah, they were shaking. And I'm and I'm like, what happened? And I talked to one of my friends, and they're like, you've trained on a flat, perfect surface for a year. Now, all of a sudden, you're running in. There's the uneven, your legs are, you're using completely different muscles. And after that, I'm like, well, okay, I guess I need to look at my training a little different, and that's, you need to train outside and get used to that offset of the muscles. So, yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, it's kind of like the beginning of this year for me actually too, because I went and worked with a run coach in California at the beginning of January. And so we worked on running form and stuff. And then, so there's a bunch of stuff I really wanted to work on, but then I flew all the way back up to the north where we had so much snow. And so I was on the tread a lot working on some of that stuff. But, it's good to have something like that. But I got out in the snow a bit too, and I still was running outside, but I was running so much on the tread. I got so comfortable just in that kind of smooth environment for the most part. And then when I had my first race in Alabama, the terrain there was it was bushwhacking. It was running through just absolute brush everywhere. And I realized pretty quick, I'm like, crap, I have not been training on terrain like this. It really messed with me too, trying to run through that. Cause I'm like, I'm getting faster as a runner, but then I've got to run through brush. And it was all these down trees and cut out a path for us to run through. And so it was just all this brush you had to work your way through, which was just horrible to run in. And I just hadn't had any experience the past few months of doing that.
And it's completely different. I mean, that's one thing a lot of people don't really think about. A lot of these Spartan races and a lot of the terrain, the OCR, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the different ones, they forge a path for us to do. They don't pick a trail that existed. So a lot of times you're running through it, especially you guys who are running elite or competitive or any of those.
We trailblaze for you.
You're out there
we
first.
We make that trail for you. So
you're out there
you
first trailblazing.
You can thank us. I'll tell you, it's there's so when you get it's really rough.
Oh yeah, when you get out there, you know, and you're an open heat guy person, and you're going out there and you see the trails already, it's like that. It's not what it looked like when they started, you know. And I've been a couple times. It was Montana in 15, the first year I did it. I wore normal shorts and tennis shoes. It was the first like real OCR I ever did. I started with the Montana Beast because, well, I don't do research, and I was going through it.
That's definitely a good one to pick.
Yeah, like I said, I don't do research. That was my problem, and I was
well,
the founder's race, so it was
quick.
Even worse.
You learn quick. You start to get it.
Yeah.
You start to pick up what you need
going through
something like that. So.
Yeah, and going through that one, it was one of those things that. Our heat was like the first heat after the elites, because at that time they didn't have competitive. It was the two elite heats went out and then the first open wave. So we went out there and I have scars on my, my shins from bushwhacking and having my legs were beat up so bad going through those bushes and everything that I literally have scars on my legs because I cut them so bad going through there. And after that, everyone's like, why do you always wear, the pants because of that?
Yeah, I just gotten used to it a lot of times. My legs get so scraped up out there. I don't have any one. I haven't had really bad scars, although I took I guess you said you weren't in Montana this year. There was a point where we had to, slip through a barbed wire fence. And I did I caught myself on the barbed wire on the leg. It was I thought there was one line and there was a lower line and I missed it. I didn't see it because I was hauling. Oh. Cause it was kind of like you were coming down the mountain, and so when I went through it, I didn't catch it too bad, but I got a good scrape across my leg from that. But you know, a lot of those, some of those races I know are going to be more bushwhacky. I put on the long socks just to kind of protect my legs a little more.
Yeah, they can do some. They can tear your legs up.
Yeah, I don't do the compression. I know a lot of people wear that stuff, you know, or the long pants, and that helps, but. You know, I don't really need the compression. I've never had an issue with cramping up.
Yeah, I've never had really an issue with cramping, so I don't really go with the compression. I just kind of go with the leggings. I mean, what they're really called, they're the pants, but whatever, they look like leggings from the 80s. But, you know, they protect my legs just enough to make it so I don't get the big cuts in them. But they still get beat up pretty good, but...
At least you ran a little later, too. I will say, running those elite races, it's funny because people will tell me, or talk about, the course in a certain way. So the other thing that I hadn't considered the fact that a lot of people are running in when, you have races like Boise and some of those where in the elite race, it's all brush. You're running through a lot of, just brush and rough terrain. But you get done, and then I went back out with a client, and it's all sandy. And so you're going downhill, you're hitting stuff, and it's just been carved out by all the people before you. And so you're going downhill, you're, sliding through stuff, rather than, when we went where it was, firm dirt, but it's brush. And so it's almost a different race when you go back out compared to being the first. And actually, Seattle was kind of that way, too, this year, because I went back out in the sprint the next day and just – what people were talking about, from the super, how mushy it was. And, when we went out in elite, it wasn't like that, because the ground ground was soggy, but it wasn't it hadn't been tracked through so much yet that it became that mush. Because, the whole way on the sprint the next day was just, shoe-stealing mud. So you just hope you put your shoes on tight enough, or you were not getting those back. I'm sure there's a lot of shoes still in that mud, because that was a fun race, but you learn that it's different trying to haul in a through that kind of mud.
Oh yeah, in the Seattle mud, what's really weird too is you get all sorts of different types of mud. So
it feels very sticky and some of it's very clayey too.
Yeah, some of it is. Yeah, there was a couple years ago.
Portland's got that gritty mud, which is interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
just more grit.
That gets into everything.
Know, it's kind of sandy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is you get the different types of mud in different places. So, you know, it's, you know, like you said, you know, Portland's kind of the gritty sand. In Seattle, there's the sticky, nasty mud. There was one year they had, it was really weird. It was like hard pack on top with mud underneath. So as you were walking, the whole everything underneath or running, everything underneath you was moving. It was really weird.
Yeah.
Like the whole ground was mushy.
My first year. Yeah, my first Spartan race was Seattle. It was a Seattle Super, and that first year, like, we just had like a clay patch, and I had so much clay like attached to my legs that it just became like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was really weird. And then I got light hair, and so kind of like it when it dried out, it became really like chippy, and it just felt like my whole legs were just like itchy, and it really was irritating because every time I'd step, like it would shake. So.
Yeah.
And I haven't found another course quite like that. Like, I don't know, it must have been something just like somewhere how they tracked us through in that race in Seattle. We hit something that was just super like clay heavy.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, because I mean the backside that they didn't use really this year in the Super, because they used it for the trail race.
Sometimes they do.
There's
sometimes
a lot
they have during that Super. It seems
sometimes,
like.
Yeah. They have used it before in the Super, but this year they didn't. But that backside, it's a gravel pit back there, you know,
yeah,
that you,
yeah.
We've gone through. So, I mean, you get some really weird mud and weird things there too. So, yeah.
Yeah. I know that we'll have that during the Beast coming up too. So that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
I like that area back there. And this
yeah.
is back there because there's some of that where you get some of that elevation. You got that, some of the single track stuff back there too, where rather
yeah.
than just running through the cornfields, you know, It's a little more preferred getting onto some of that trail as well, to me.
Yeah. Yeah, they have some good, some fun stuff. And that's one thing I kind of like about Seattle, but I think they've been there too long with two races. And
yeah, it'd be nice. It would
two different
be nice
weekends.
A different venue.
Yeah,
two
weekends
sure.
a year for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. It gets kind of weird, you know, and you see it over and over again. But,
yeah. Well, I'll say this as a competitor, though, like going into it, when I get that course map, I kind of know, you know, it's like that's
yeah.
one thing where I know what to expect. And so, and for me, I don't think as much along the lines, like, I wouldn't mind moving to another venue, but I also, like, I know kind of what to expect going into it. I know what's where. I know where we're going to see certain hills. Where I get other courses that I go to, and I just have no, like, I see the course map, and I kind of get an idea of the elevation and the move and, like, when we're going to hit hills, but... Nothing like that Seattle course. And then when you get out there, you're not thinking about like, oh, this is boring. You're thinking like, these guys are next to me hauling too, and I want to beat them. And so it kind of changes
yeah.
the whole dynamic of getting bored on a course.
That's good. So,
but I definitely wouldn't mind seeing something different though.
Yeah, I definitely want it. And, you know, I've heard every year there's rumors that they're going to do it in a different spot, and it never comes through. But, you know, I keep hoping one day.
Yeah.
Well,
at some point, you know, things eventually do change, you know, but, yeah, it's hard to know when.
Eventually. Yeah. But you never know, because it's like, you know, Washougal or Portland, it used to be the Pac Northwest race, but they've been there since 2011, 2012. They've been at that same
yeah.
venue. So
I think it's like they have,
but I mean, it's a great venue
and it's easier. Yeah. It's easier than trying to find somewhere new sometimes as well. Like, because they already have a good relationship
yeah.
with that one. They then have to go out and search for something different. So from a race-like standpoint, I kind of can understand that, too. But, yeah, the Seattle one, with two in a year and just the fact that it's not the most dynamic course because it's pretty flat. So like there's definitely
yeah.
– they could definitely probably find somewhere not too far away that would be better. Or, like you said, the Portland one, I mean, that consistently just is a really fun race.
Yeah,
you know, that, I think they've got a lot to work with there too. That and it's such a short race that we don't end up seeing everything, you know, in one go each year, and so you can kind of get away with it a little bit more and see what the variation, like how we're going to be running through it, being a shorter race like
yeah.
that. They can really play with it every year and kind of and make it different than it was last year.
That's so true. Because I mean, I've been there I think 4 times now, and there's been every time there's been some part of the course I'm like, I don't remember this. You know,
yeah,
I've never been
kinda,
here before.
That's kind of how I feel, too. they have enough space to work with and enough space to kind of rearrange it in a way that's really, really fun.
Yeah, which is cool. They do a good job with that.
Yeah, well, sprints go. It's been my favorite sprint. You know, you get some of those. They're like the second day sprints, so they're kind of like just thrown together out of what the super had, you know. But then you have, you know, you got like Boise. That's just a sprint, but it's nothing compared to Portland. Just how much fun Portland is. The variation of Portland, the up, the down, you know, the movement, the dirt. Like, they're just they give you a little bit more challenging obstacles too, which is nice. Where, I mean, Boise this year was just a climb up the hill, and then you kind of played around the top, and then you ran down. You know, it was a pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Like, okay, have fun, you know.
And see, that's what's great about Washougal. It's different every year. They kind of, you know, do it a little bit different, you know, up, down. You know, you're up, down all over the place. They have different hills. And I think it's partly because it's a motorcycle track. So, I mean, they're able to use that. They do the same thing in Vegas. Vegas is on a motorcycle track. So there's some really nasty hills, and they either throw them in right at the end or right at the beginning. And then there's a bunch of random places out, you know, farther out, and they do. Vegas is a good one. So, but
yeah, that's one that I've considered doing. Because I follow the national series around usually, or especially this year and last year, I follow the national series. It's been hard to kind of like branch out and do some of the other races.
Yeah, I could see that.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor.
Do you like tacos?
Yes!
Do you like having fun?
Yes!
Do you like to have tacos while having fun?
Yes!
Can you walk or run a mile?
Yes!
Good news! Beast's OCR annual Taco Mile is back and happening now through the month of August. It's a virtual challenge that you can do anywhere. All you need is a place to safely walk or run and 4 tacos. Add in some friends and you have yourself an excellent, super fun time. For more information, head on over to beastschallenge.com and the Beast OCR Facebook group. That's beastschallenge.com.
Beast OCR! Taco Mile! Sign up today!
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
So what are your plans for the future? They do.
Right now, for future, I don't know, you know. Part of it too. So I qualified for Worlds in the Spartan Worlds and West Virginia in Elite, but I'm kind of not enjoying running Elite as much, especially in the championship races, because you kind of, for me, like, we just have such strong athletes out there. You know, you get in those big races and I end up kind of mid pack, which, you know, I have a decent finishes, you know, and it was enough to qualify me for Worlds, but it's still like, I know going to Worlds, I'm going to be probably like somewhere in like the 60 to 70 range of competitors.
Yeah.
Which kind of stops being fun. And I've decided in West Virginia and Tahoe, I'm actually going to run age group. And part of the reason is because I know all those guys, you know, and I'm also going to be shooting for, you know, probably a top 5 finish, which would be great. So rather than, you know, finishing a mid pack in a race where I'm, you know, I'm not going to make any money, I'm probably not going to, you know, gain a lot from. It's like just going out and having fun with guys that I know. Because I ran 2 age group races this year for, like, the second day sprints in the National Series races. And it was so much fun running with those guys. Like, it was a different experience. And you end up with the same guys throughout the whole race. You're kind of paced with guys and you're pushing each other hard. And, you know, there's such a great camaraderie that I pretty much know everybody in my age group and the heat that I'll be running in. And so part of it's just I want to have more fun. I kind of want to enjoy myself. So next year, I don't know what I'm going to do. If just depending on where I'm at, you know, if my paces improve, you know, I'm getting back up, I'll probably go back towards Elite. Or I may run age group, or I may not do the national series at all. I may just do the races I want to do, especially with running a business. It's like, it's been hard, you know, kind of running a business and having time for my own training too. You know, you end up juggling 2 things at once. You want to give 100% to both, but it's really hard to do.
It can be. It can be very hard to do. So that's cool. I mean, I've been really thinking. Yeah. I would say I've been thinking next year is going to be less about the national series or national, like, races like Spartan and Tough Mudder and stuff like that, and more about the locals. I want to start getting into a lot of the local races and really, you know, doing that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking potentially too, especially with my business, because that's the focus. You know, most of what we do in the business. I mean, I have people who don't race. I have people who just come out and have fun, and then I have people who are more like hikers or want to be able to do stuff outside, and so it's great for them too. But I also want to promote people to go and do races like Spartan, especially like these local races. That's perfect. I can't take everybody in my business, pick them up, and be like, let's all go to West Virginia. You know, it's not going to happen, you know. So it's like it's really nice running a business that revolves around what I love. It's just a matter of, you know, the local races are the ones that are going to fit my clientele. You know, some of them travel to farther away, but, you know, that's on them. I'm probably not going to go with them to some of those races, depending, but.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think I'm kind of at that point where I kind of want to just do what I want to do. You know, and just enjoy it, you know, rather than feel like I have to compete hard, I have to do a lot. And I'll stick with the elite races for local races, because if I look at my times most of the time, compare my elite time to an age group races for local, I would usually always be on the podium, you know, in age group. And that's not fun to me. Like, I don't want to win every race, you know. I don't want to be up there if it's too easy. And so I'd rather run elite in races that are a little bit smaller. It's just those national series. You get out there and you got the best in the world there with you. And you know, it shows, you know, it's a huge difference. We were talking about Renegade, the past few years I've won that event, you know, being just a local event. We mostly just get guys from Tri-Cities and maybe a few more from around the Pacific Northwest. And so I've won it, you know, consistently. And then you go out to a local race, like a local being like Pacific Northwest Spartan race. And then I can be a top 10, top 15 finisher. And then I go to a national series race and it's like, oh, I'm top 50. You know, so it's like the bigger the race, it's like the farther down the pack I'm going to be, you know. And then if you have like one of these guys show up, you know, it's like there's those guys. It's just like there's different calibers of athletes. And then you have some of those guys who are, you know, you have your Brian Atkins and Kent, and you've got Woods and DJ and all them, and they're going to, you know, they show up at any race and they're probably going to win it, you know, and that's kind of just the way it is.
Yeah.
Where some of us are like, you know, local events, we got to work for it too. But, you know, if I just do an event here around, like we had just like a run event here in Tri-Cities, and I just did it for fun, and I ended up taking third, just having fun with it, you know, not even trying to push hard. Like, I was like, okay, like, let's just go. It's just like kind of shows that, you know, there are different, you know, it's like the caliber of athlete I am is strong for where I'm at, but it's kind of that big fish, small pond mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was fun this year too. True. We had the Renegade. Yeah, I was going to say Renegade this year was really fun. I definitely want to see more people come out to that, especially because I'm running a business here in town. It's like that. And we had this amazing race here in town. And so I invited Taylor out. Taylor over Miller, and he beat me.
Yep.
And so I was kind of like, maybe I shouldn't have invited him, but I was really glad he came. And I invited other guys who could beat me. And part of that was not just, you know, not just being like, okay, you know, that was stupid. But part of it was just the whole, I wanted guys who would push me, you know, and I knowing these guys could show up means that I've got to double my training. I've got to work harder to be up there, you know, and that was something that I felt like was more important than winning a race. And so him beating me, you know, was like, okay, like that's all right. You know, I got something I got to shoot for, and I got something to work for. And I pushed harder in that race than I would have if he wasn't there. And I know he came in, I think, about 2 minutes ahead of me, but then after me, it was like a 7-minute gap before third. And so it kind of showed too, like, the caliber of athletes that we are. So Taylor and I, and then, like, you know, everybody else who was competing. And so it's like, if he hadn't shown up for that race, it would have been like, okay, I would have been way ahead again, just like I've done for the last 2 years. And so it was nice having that, you know. I would love to win it again. And part of me, when I saw him there, was like, oh darn it, he did show up. But part of me was like, good, you know, that this is going to make me work. And you know, like I said, there's that point where you want to win. You're gonna stand that starting block being like, I want to win. But you get out there, and then you're so, like, it happened last year. I was so far ahead at the end of the race. Like, the last mile, I felt like I could fail every obstacle and still win it. And it's just not fun. You know, you don't have that same push. You don't have that same drive. nothing is pushing you harder when you're at that, when you're in that place, you know. And it's like, okay, it does become less fun. And like I said, I want to enjoy what I do rather than just win races.
And that's a good way to look at it. I mean, it's one of those things, you get those people that are like, I just want to win. And I'm going to go for the small race because I know I can win it. And it's like,
yeah.
You know, but then in your case, you're like, okay, I've been way out ahead. Let's bring Taylor in to make it fun. Well, so,
yeah. Well, just wanting to win doesn't, you know, it's not, you know, it doesn't, that's not pushing you. And like I talked about, I'm out here to push my limits. And that doesn't happen unless I push against guys who are better than me or guys who can beat me, you know. When I have guys around me, it's been great. You know, every year that I do this, I usually get I kind of have a group of guys that I have my eyes on because they're kind of my pack. Like, they're the people that I'm racing with, whether they're in my, you know, whether they're in my heat or not. It's like, just based on times, it's like, it's fun to kind of like see where I'm at with those guys, see who's winning, you know, because I know I got guys I can shoot for. And I know this year has been kind of a rough year overall because I've been up and down a little bit on health stuff. And so, like, for some of the elite races, I've been very different. And so I just haven't enjoyed it as much, I think, too, because I haven't quite developed that same pack of competitors to race with every time I go out there. And I lost some of the guys from last year, some of the guys who I was racing with consistently last year, and starting to either catch or haven't had beat. I haven't seen them in as many races this year, and so it's been harder to kind of, like, continue growing because it's like I either had to create a whole new pack of people or, you know, or just go out there and do it, you know, because they weren't there anymore. Because I had one friend, and throughout the whole year last year, I was catching him. Like, I was some of our first races, I was ways behind him. And then by the end, I was starting to make up a lot of ground on him. Like, I was pretty close to, like, I didn't quite beat him. And then this year, he kind of stepped back from doing Spartans. I mean, he's still a great friend. I went and visited him at one point when I was down in California too, but I miss him. You know, it's like, I wanted to have him out in the course with me because I just, like, it was fun to be working towards a goal of, like, I'm going to try to beat you, you know? So that's what's kind of fun about having guys like Taylor, and then there's other guys too who it's like, you know, they're such strong athletes, and it's fun kind of like starting to close that gap in between like where I'm at and they're at. But it has been cool this year. The change I've noticed though is that I have stepped into a caliber of athlete where it seems like I went from kind of the area where I'm racing with a lot of guys who are kind of semi-pro. You know, they train kind of casually, you know, they're kind of casually training and they go out there and run. They do decent, you know, they do well. And this year I'm with a bunch of guys who, you know, they train as hard as me. And so I guess I don't see as much of that result. You know, you go out there and you're with guys who really are, you know, have the same ambition, the same drive. And it's different to race with guys like that because they're growing as much as you're growing.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about Renegade. I know you've mentioned it a couple times and all that, and I want to promote those local races. So kind of tell me a little bit about Renegade. Give us a little pitch on why we should go out to Tri-Cities next year and run the Renegade.
Yeah, so Renegade is definitely one of the very best races that we have just in the Pacific Northwest, period. I mean, as it's set up, it's got quality obstacles, and they're actually hard. You know, it's like you get some of these where the obstacles just aren't that challenging. Or if I'm going slower, a lot of those, like in a Spartan, I can get through every obstacle, no problem. But in Renegade, it's like, there's some of these obstacles that they're legit obstacles you really got to work for. And they have the level system. So people who aren't as ready for it, they definitely have options to help them get through it. And like the open heats, they're definitely more lenient. Obviously, when you're in elite, you have to complete the obstacle or you got to do a penalty. But there's like the 10 feet walls. There's legit full size like warp walls. Then you have grip obstacles that are tough. And I love the fact that it's over water. The other thing I love about this is I know we talked about the heat in Tri-Cities, how hot it is. For being as hot as it is, it's one of the wettest courses that I've done. And so it's fun because talk about being in a hot climate and having, like, you go to some of these races, it's super hot and the course isn't wet at all. You have like, okay, it's just like, you have the dunk wall and the rolling mud somewhere and that's it. But in Renegade, it's like water. Or like Boise, it's like, let's get a little water at the beginning. Let's get water at the end. And it's like, it's super hot. But this race, it's like right off the bat. I mean, you go out, then you're going to hit a water obstacle, and you know you're probably going to hit about seven, eight more. And there's points where you're in the water just a ton of the time, and so it's fun in that regard, where it's like, yeah, you're hot, but you're getting wet so much that it really kind of brings that down, which is great. You know, I love that aspect to it, especially like it utilizes what we have in this environment in Tri-Cities, which is the heat, with also having the water. I definitely have heard people talk about that, but it's just such a good race. It's well put on, it's well set up. You know, you go to, it's got the quality of a Spartan event. You know, like quality of obstacles, nice. Quality of just running through it. And I definitely want to see it grow, because it's worth doing. I mean, it's so much fun to do. And you do have unique obstacles as well, where I know a Spartan, I know what I'm going to see pretty much when I get out there. But in a race like Renegade, I have no idea. You know, I go out there and it's like, okay,
yeah, that's awesome.
Like every year there's something new and something unique. And then this year we had something new. We definitely had some good new stuff. Like we had this one, I called it the Proud Mary, because it looked like one of the paddle wheels on the back of the boats. But it was basically like two pinwheels, and you had to spin, it was like rotating monkey bars. You had to rotate all the way around till it hit the bell. Which was really neat. That was such a unique setup. And just some of the stuff like having a legit rope swing, having water slides. So you have your fun obstacles too, and it's got a good variation. And I know you guys interviewed Sandra as well, and think about that is she's done so many races. She's done so much. And even the people who were there before, who were helping her before, even though now that she's a one-woman show, as they got it kind of set up initially, they all had raced a bunch. They knew what obstacle races felt like, and they knew how to make a good one. You know, they took from other races what they needed and made their own thing, which was so great. So it's like not just somebody who comes in with a money grab. Yeah, you get a lot. I see a lot of races that seem like they're just money grabs. They're like, oh, they come in going, well, I want to make money, and so let's make this thing called an obstacle race, and they don't really know what they're doing. Where this is someone who created a race. And she actually knows what a race should feel like, and she makes a race that feels legit.
And see, that's awesome. And I've seen exactly what you're talking about. I have seen those races where it's pretty much like somebody has seen, hey, there's a bunch of people that like these mud runs. Let's just make one. And they have no idea that nobody's ever done one. Yeah. So, and then, you know, you get ones like that where they've done one. There's the Summit, the Swamp down here in Randall, they're actually getting together with the Beast so that next year they can actually make an even better course by getting a bunch of us people that have ran races to help them build obstacles. They had some really good obstacles. They did a great job, but they're like, okay, we did good, but we've only done a couple obstacle course races. Why don't you guys help us to make this an even better course? So that's another really good thing to see is, you know, when they're like, you know, they bring in people going, hey, we have some ideas, you know, come and help us. Help us make it better. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's cool, too. I guess, you know, the other thing is, like, when somebody has an idea and they're passionate about something, it'll grow year to year. I mean, that's the thing for me that I've learned is, you know, sometimes I don't know what to do with something or how to actually operate something. And the best thing I can do is just throw myself into it, and then I learn. You know, it's just go for it. And I know for people wanting to even do obstacle races, like I get so many people who are scared to even touch a course. And I tell them, you know, you just got to do it. You just got to get out there and do it, and you'll learn along the way. You know, you'll figure it out. It'll come to you, but you're going to have to just get out there and do it.
And that's just it. I mean, it's one of those. I get a lot of people that are like, oh, but I'm scared to do it. How do I do it? How do I train for it? I'm like, basically, you get yourself better. Run, lift heavy things, do whatever, make yourself overall healthy, and then just go do it. Just get out there on the course. It's the only way you're going to learn. I mean, I can try and tell you what it's like, but I'm probably going to scare you more than anything. So just go do it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely neat. You know, that's one thing for me where I want to kind of help people. So I take the, you know, help them be able to get through a course. I definitely have helped a lot of people at their first race, which has been great. But the biggest thing that I notice is people are just afraid to even sign up, you know, and I tell them sign up and then, you know, then you're going to have the initiative to actually like, I got to get ready for this. I have to actually do it. But a lot of people are too afraid to sign up. And so they never quite get to that point where they're even willing to train for it. But it's like most people are, you know, it scares them to sign up enough that they're going to go out and they're going to train right. You know, it's going to take them into that area where they're like, I have to train for this. I have to figure it out. And like that's been me, you know, figuring out how to do stuff like ninja. I was like, I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it or how. But I was like, I'm going to figure it out. And you become there, you know, you find a way. And that's a trick that you learn doing obstacle racing. And it's very applicable to everything else you do in life, too.
Yeah. And it's one of those things you see the two different people. You get people that sign up for it and they're scared. And then they train hard because they're scared. Or you get the people that sign up for it, go do it, and then realize, okay, well, none of this worked right. So what do you know? What training do I need to do to fix this? Or, you know, they train really hard and they miss part of it. They're like, okay, I trained really hard at running and I lifted heavy things. And then they get up to something where they have to pull and they're like, oh, well, I didn't work these muscles at all. So now I know what I need to do in training next time. So that's,
One of the biggest tools I've found too in training clients is letting them fail. Like as much as you know, they don't want to fail, letting them fail and learn that that's okay, you know, is one of the biggest things. And letting them get out there and do it. Because sometimes they find they can do something they didn't know they could do. But the biggest thing is getting them past that fear of failure. You know, and I will push them into stuff and say, okay, we're just going to do it. You know, even if it doesn't work today, that doesn't mean, you know, we're going to work it and you'll be able to do this at some point. And it's just like allowing people to have that time to make a mistake and realize that it's okay to make a mistake. You know, I get a lot of people who are nervous because they're like, oh, I'm going to fail obstacles. I'm like, yeah, you probably are. That's probably true. But that's the point. You're learning. You learn where your weaknesses are, and then you learn how to defeat them in the future. You know, I tell people before they do a race, who are nervous, I'm like, if you could, and it's kind of like what I talked about. It's like if you could just if every obstacle was easy for you, it's not going to be as fun. You're going to feel more reward at the end. Just getting through it, even if you fail some obstacles, you're probably going to feel more rewarded for getting through something that was more of a challenge than something that would be easy if you could just do every obstacle.
No, I agree. And the big thing too is you get a lot of people that are afraid to even try. I had a friend that I used to do the races with, and she wouldn't even try the monkey bars because she's like, I can't do that. So I'm just going to, and she would walk right past and go do her burpees. Every time, not even attempt it. And finally, one day, I'm like, just try it. And she made it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't know I could do that. I'm like, you didn't know you did it. You could do it because you never tried. At least try it.
Yeah.
You never know. You'll surprise yourself.
I know some people, we know that they're probably not going to get through it, and that's okay. But I tell them, you know, get up there. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll get to the multi-rig or the monkey bar, same thing, or twister. I've done this with people. I've said, just go up there and do as many as you possibly can. Because, I mean, say you get in the twister, the monkey bars, whatever, you get four rungs. Next time it's going to be five. The time after that's going to be six.
Yep.
It's like, but if you don't do it, you're never going to be able to grow into it. You know, you have to actually get
and you're never going to know that.
Otherwise, you're just going to be fearful of it forever.
Yeah, and you're never going to know how much better you did. Like, you might get, you know, like you said, four this time, and then the next time you make six. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I did two better. So did you make it? No, you still failed, but you did better. And that's something to grow on.
Yeah, one of the things I have my ninja kids do is walk the slack line. Because you'll see that during, like, local competitions. And so that becomes one of the biggest ninja killers in local competitions. But the thing is, like, that's taken years to perfect. Like, I can walk all the way across the turn around, walk back, do squats, whatnot. You know, but this is like 5 years of walking that line. You know, and so I haven't had one person yet be able to walk all the way across it, you know, unassisted, like that I've been working with. But I'm like, they're getting farther. And so I always try to, you know, give them credit for how far they did get. It's like, okay, you got five steps today. Well, next time we're going to go six. Next time we're going to go seven. We're going to start building it up, you know. And then they also got to remind you that some days are different. Some days your balance is going to just feel a little bit off. But it's the same with all the other obstacles too. It's like getting to see that kind of like achievement along the way. You're building that progress towards something and towards your goal. And it's been really close, but that's one of those things, like, because especially a slackline, because slacklines they're very, very difficult. And I was basically, when I started, it was like I'd take like one step and I'd be off, you know, and it was persistence. I started doing it every day. Like, I do about 30 minutes, you know, almost every day, and it allowed me to then develop that skill.
Yeah, and that's how you get better at anything, is practice. Just keep doing it, you know. Right on. Well, we're almost to that 1 hour mark, which is, you know, kind of where I like to stay. So in closing, tell me, what would you like to say to the listeners? What would you like to leave them leave them with?
I definitely want to say, you know, if you are afraid to do a race, sign up, do it. You know, if you're afraid to do obstacles or if you worry about all that stuff, you know, don't let it get to you. Go out there and do it. And if you fail, it's okay to fail. It's like we were talking about, it's okay not to make it. And then definitely, you know, if you live in the Tri-Cities area and you want someone to help you, encourage you there, come out, try a class. You know, I'll give everybody who comes out, you know, you get a free trial class so you can check it out, see what you think, see if this is right for you. So especially people who aren't sure if they want to do obstacle racing or not, or people who are, you know, or people who want to do something completely different. I kind of find it's being able to be functional and just live the life you want to live. And I find obstacle racing seems to be the best way to train, to be as functional, just to enjoy life the way that you want to enjoy life.
Yeah, and that's so true. It's just functional. Keep doing it. Nice. Very true.
Yeah,
well,
so I definitely,
thank you,
for
Daniel,
me, I just hope to keep inspiring people. Yeah, I was just going to say, I want to keep inspiring people
and hope
that they keep going out there. So it's like, if you want to follow me, I know you can follow me on Instagram. So Daniel Elfers at Instagram, or you can hashtag Dirty Dan OCR. That'll find me too. Oh, yeah, that's my nickname, by the way, Dirty Dan. So if you see me on the course,
Dirty Dan.
I usually have Dirty Dan written on my back, or if I'm wearing a shirt, I'll have it on my arm. But so it's
nice.
Fun too, because people will cheer you on. They have no idea who I am, but they're like, Dirty Dan. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Cool. So,
yeah, I get to him because Mike says Pretty Mike. So
Pretty Mike.
Everyone
like
always.
That. That's awesome.
Yeah, Pretty Mike. So, this has been awesome. This has been a fun conversation. And I will definitely, when I post this, I will definitely put your contact information so people can get a hold of you. So, yeah,
sweet.
It's
that's
been
awesome.
Great talking to you. Thank
yeah,
you for being
you
on the episode.
I'm definitely game to help anybody. If anyone ever just needs encouragement or anything, or just some ideas to get started, I've been there for a lot of people, whether they're right here. I have people who are like as far away as Massachusetts and, you know, all the way on the east side who ask me questions looking for advice. So anyone who needs anything, I'm always there for you. I want to grow this sport and I want to grow you guys. So here for you. And thanks for having
me on.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNat podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.